You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media.
Make new friends and keep the old.
Doesn't Dirks have a song about gravel? I swear he wrote a song about gravel.
Okay, we are live from Bentonville.
You should know this.
Okay, we have a special guest for our intro today. We have Betsy Welch.
Hello, everybody.
And we are hiding behind a tent.
We're hiding behind a tent in the shade.
In the shade, because it is really hot. You told me, Christy, it is going to be rainy and cold for this event.
It always is. Not this year. It's going to be hot and windy. That's what I heard.
Yeah. So we have been here for a couple of days for Big Sugar Gravel. Betsy, you raced this last year?
I did Little Sugar, yep.
And you're doing Little Sugar again this year?
Sure am.
You're trying to win it?
Oh yes. No, that is so unfair. You said we weren't going to talk about anything right now. I mean,
it comes out on Tuesday. It's already done.
Betsy's going to do what Betsy does.
I'm just going to...
That may be a win.
That may be a win. Let's be real. I got second last year. Lauren Stevens isn't here. She's the one who beat me, so who knows? Maybe I have a chance. Yeah.
I have a question for you, Betsy.
Uh-oh.
Is this podcast media coverage just as cool as the Tour de France films coverage was?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Were you hiding behind tents with a microphone?
Actually, yeah. Yeah. Just a slightly larger scale, I think.
The sausage is all made the same.
Touche.
Do you think women's world tour racing or gravel racing is more fun?
Oh, gosh.
We won't send the podcast to Bella News.
No, I mean, of course, they're both amazing. Like, gravel is my home, gravel is my heart. And women's world tour is just like seeing women on like a world stage. That's incredible.
It's like a huge romantic crush, right?
Yeah.
It's like a big crush. You're like, oh my God, that's just lovely.
And this is your boyfriend.
Yeah. This is your boyfriend. That's your crush.
Yeah. That, oh, wow. Wow. You guys are good.
I think that could be a column that you could write.
Yeah.
Gravel is my girlfriend.
Gravel is my boyfriend.
Yeah.
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 World like tour this. Women are my crush.
Are your crush.
There you go. I like them.
We get things done down in Bentonville.
We have now written an article for Betsy.
You guys are really good at this.
We know.
Wow.
I'm also a little delirious because we've talked to a lot of people in the last 2 days. Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Well, this field is stacked.
It's a little stacked.
It's so insane. Yeah. They're all trying to get the win for the end of the Grand Prix. And I was actually interviewing Kristen Ligon, and she was like, yeah, I'm 10, but I don't know if I'll stay in 10 because it's so competitive. Like, the top 10 spots are going to be really competitive.
The points race is really tight within the women, and there's a lot of them have a lot to gain with this race.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really cool thing about the structure of the event, the way you guys set up the points.
That was all me.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding.
Do you feel like this has changed things for the gravel pro field, Christy?
Of course. I don't exactly know what or how, but I mean, I think if anything, it's just elevated it. And, you know, we just wrapped up the card signing here, and it was just cool to see fans come, like, to meet the athletes. And just a great, like, just such a great group of human beings, largely speaking, that it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I would say you definitely don't see this at a World Tour race. And, It is what makes gravel so special. No matter what anyone says about the pointy end being too pointy, like, here they are. They're right here. Come talk.
Yeah, and they've been around all day.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we've got a bunch of little mini interviews for today's podcast. Christy got a couple in yesterday before she had to switch to work mode. My favorite one was you and Kate Verano.
By the way?
She had to go home. I am so short, and she is so tall.
She's like 6'1".
Dude, she's a baller, a literal baller.
I was standing uphill, and she was still a giant.
Christy was like reaching the microphone up to her.
It's embarrassing. Go look at the coverage.
Go look at the video. So we have a bunch of Instagram reels if you didn't see those, but then you're going to get the full clips of those videos onto the podcast feed today. So Christy's got to go back to work. She's giving me the look.
I am. Cheers.
All right. We're on to our interviews from Big Sugar Gravel.
To live your healthiest life possible, you need to understand what's going on inside. Inside Tracker takes a personalized approach to health and longevity from the most trusted and relevant source, your body. Inside Tracker was created by experts in aging, genetics, and biometric data from Harvard, Tufts, and MIT. It provides personalized health analysis and clear recommendations, plus an action plan on how to live a longer, healthier life. Inside Tracker can also calculate your biological age, which is the rate you're aging compared to your chronological age, as well as ways to lower your biological age. The thing we love most about Inside Tracker is that they give you recommendations on things you can control to optimize your health, like food, supplements, workouts, and other lifestyle choices. And did you know that you can use your HSA, HRA, and FSA to buy any Inside Tracker plan? Which means you can purchase Inside Tracker using your tax-free dollars. Oh, and it gets better. For a limited time, you get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store when you sign up. So if you're ready to get a crystal clear picture of what's going on inside your body, along with the science-backed recommendations to optimize what's not working, visit insidetracker.com/feisty. That's insidetracker.com/feisty.
Okay, I am here with Rose Grant, who is retiring after this race. Is this your last race?
I'm going to race Iceman. I decided to race Iceman just a couple weeks ago. So, yeah. So, it's my second to last.
And you're going to be wrapping up the Grand Prix, which this is your kind of retirement tour. And you're like in the top five right now. You're four, right?
Yeah, I'm in fourth right now. And I have like 6 points in front of me to third and maybe more than that behind me to fifth. So I'm pretty solid in fourth. And to move forward or back, I think, I'd have to have something really good or really bad happen. So, yeah, we'll see.
I think you're going to have a really good day. Okay, tell us about your decision to retire, because you've been racing for 10 years.
I have. So I turned pro in 2012, the same year that I got pregnant with my daughter, Layla.
I didn't realize that.
Yep, she is 9 now and turns 10 in March. And, you know, it has been a juggling act, racing a full career as a mom. And my husband is a very busy person. He's a police officer. And so my mom has stepped in a lot to support us for my travel and my training. And it's just required a lot. And I have taken the approach of 1 year at a time for a long time. And when I was injured, I thought about retiring then, and also like always kind of wanting to have more kids too. I was never really sure how long I would race. And the last few years, I always felt like I couldn't come back. I couldn't quit from being injured. I couldn't quit with being forced to not race with COVID. Like, there was unfinished business and I had to see this through. And I'm at a point where I'm not chasing unfinished goals. Like, I have accomplished everything and more that I ever could have dreamt could have been possible. And it's like this chapter is complete and I feel so confident in that. And I've learned some really valuable life lessons and I've grown immensely that I feel like through biking, I discovered who I was meant to be. And now I feel that I'm meant to take what I have learned and apply that in a different way. It's not completely clear, but I would love to be just mentor, coach, support role. I think that position for us as athletes is incredibly important, and I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a lot of opportunities as more and more women see that you can be a mom and you can race at the top levels too. Like, you don't have to give up those things from being a mom. And And, you know, and then you can also make a different choice, like, later on. And it doesn't, like, all those choices are valid for women.
Yeah, I think being a mom and racing has been really awesome for me. It's hard, for sure. And I think it's good to recognize how hard it is and give yourself credit for that, too, because I didn't do that for a long time. Because racing is hard in and of itself. And then when you're balancing, you know, being a mom and family, but it also has given me a really healthy perspective, too, on the sport, for just being able to look a little more from the outside in, knowing that racing is not my entire life, and it doesn't really matter to Layla how I do in the races, like, you know, that the relationships and just the other aspects of life are far more important, really, than racing.
I love that. Is she here with you this weekend?
She's home. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, congratulations on an amazing career. We can't wait to see what's next for you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're live. I'm here with Kate Verano.
Verano.
Oh, there we go.
And it's she's a tough like French Canadian.
Yep. French Canadian Kate Verano. I can't do Verano.
Yeah.
I can't get it right. Verano. Verano.
Practice for everybody. Verano.
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 Wow. That's fancy. Kate is with Zwift.
I am.
Yeah. You guys have had a big year.
It's been epic. Okay. Epic. Paris-Roubaix Femme Avec Zwift and Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift, both in their inaugural year. And the reports are in, and it was wildly, wildly successful beyond our dreams.
I love that. So this year has been a big year for women. Talk a little bit about that and the role that not only Zwift has played, but also you have played.
Oh, well, I think it's been such a big year because there's just so much more visibility. You know, we're giving people the opportunity to see how wonderful women's racing is, to get to know these personalities, to see the action, and it turns out people really like it.
So do we have any female heroes out there?
Oh my God, so many. So many. Well, I mean, I look at like Veronica Ewers this year. What a standout year. I see, you know, so many of the riders at the tour. Of course, Annemiek van Vleuten, just, you know, epic performance. Celia Utrecht-Ludwig was just the breakout personality star of the tour with her incredible, you know, unfiltered interview after stage three. It was so much fun, and she's such a powerhouse, and what an incredible season she had with FDJ. It was just, I mean, so many great personalities coming up, you know. Kasia getting third overall, Canyon SRAM taking the team classification. Ash Moomin-Pasio just closing the season with a win, her first World Tour win. It's just been breakout after breakout after breakout, and I think that they're getting, there's the confidence to make the moves and to, you know, to know that people are watching, and that there's so many more people tuning in, that this is just creating so many more opportunities to them. I'm already hearing that riders are able to ask for more salary, more sponsors coming to the table for teams and races. All the things that we hope to happen, just this snowball effect in the industry that, you know, once we all start to invest, we see the results, you know, everybody's happy, you know, there's more bike racing to watch, more personalities to get to know, more fans, more sponsors, more investment. It's great.
Well, I mean, I have goosebumps you talking about this. It's so incredible to hear, and it's been so incredible to watch. Coming off of a 2022 that was like that, that was just breathtaking and awe-inspiring and literally like beyond everybody's dreams, what are you going to pull out of the hat for 2023?
Oh, I am very excited for the route announcement next week. So nobody knows until you see it next week, but there will be some nice surprises. I just can't wait for more coverage, longer coverage. You know, I think it's I can't say much, you know, because like until next week, it's all kind of a big surprise. But I already hear so many people wanting to be there, wanting to tune in, wanting more access to watching the race in all different countries. It was pretty good this year, but I think we can even do better. So I look forward to more people tuning in. I'm really excited to keep our Watch the Femme campaign going.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got the caps and musettes all over the place, and just people being able to support and show their love for the racing and love for the riders, and just showing, you know, race promoters and, you know, media that this is what they want to see.
Nice. Well, we know you're super busy, so thank you so much for taking just a few minutes to chat with us.
Oh, my pleasure. It's the work I get to do at Zwift is an absolute dream. Very, very happy to work for a company that cares this much. So
glad you do.
Long sponsorship, another 4 years, so, or 3 years with an option for four.
Nice. Yeah, I'm here with Sarah Sturm, who's a notorious never listen to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. What do you have to say about that?
I don't listen to anyone's podcast. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally okay. I'm just giving you shit.
But Giggly Squad, I do listen to that one.
Well, I'm going to have to listen to Giggly Squad.
No, no, don't. It's, you're going to judge me. It's so bad. It's
Sarah, garbage. I already judge you.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I just said that.
So, we're down here in Bentonville. Big Sugar, last of the Lifetime Grand Prix. You're sitting in a very, very tight race in second place. How are you feeling?
No, I was trying not to think about that.
I know, and no pressure.
Oh, my God. Everyone keeps asking me how I'm feeling, which I get. I would also ask that of people. I want to know how Haley's feeling, how Sophia's feeling. I'm actually, like, pretty stoked. I, like, have to try to not think about that because, really, ultimately, like, you can't control any of it. But I'm feeling good. I'm really excited to have made it this far and like be at Big Sugar. Like when we started the season, I was just like, whoa, that's a really long ways away. Like the end of October, we started in April.
Yeah,
that's so many things have happened, and so I'm really excited to be here. I'm also glad that it's the first time I've ever been warm in Bentonville right now.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Everybody can thank me because I literally brought my entire wardrobe and I'm not riding my bike. So the weather's perfect.
Yeah, I also brought so much stuff with me. But yeah, I mean, hey, it could still change. I guess I've heard that of this part of the country.
I think we're fine. But, you know, back to that point, the hay's in the barn. So you've already done all the work.
Yep.
I know as much as I've really, truly loved Lifetime Grand Prix and this whole experience, I too am excited that it's over. What are you doing after this is done?
Oh my God. I was just telling Ellen, I was like, I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to not worry about riding. I'm just going to like turn my nervous system is going to be nice and regulated. What else was I saying? I'm going to do nothing. Did I mention
I love that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, it's just crazy. Like I can't let myself slow down. Mm-hmm. And that's something I learned about this season. Some of the races, I had too much time between, and I almost, it like made it harder to rev back up again, like just for the traveling circus. So I'm excited to just like decompress a little bit and actually like unpack my bags that have been packed the entire year.
Well, speaking as a fan, well, I mean, I think that's the thing that to me has been the most exciting about the Grand Prix is being able to work on the backside of it to help people get to know the personalities that are out there in cycling. And I really hope you've felt a bit of that yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the coolest, I feel like I've said this a lot, but I really mean it. And, you know, anytime I tell this to my mom, it really is true. But I'm like, really the coolest part of this whole thing is like, I've gotten to meet a lot of women that I would never have crossed paths with and gotten to not only race against, but like become friends. I mean, Haley and I, she had such a funny comment on my post. She was like, I think my family wants you to win more than they want me to win. My mom even called me. She's like, hey, I love Haley. And I was like, do you want her to win more than me?
Oh my
She's
gosh.
Like, maybe after that comment. So it was just like, it's just been lovely getting to meet, like, I mean, she used to race the World Cup circuit, and Hannah Otto, like, we've followed each other for years, but we get to like race together, and like it's been cool to like bring Ellen into the, like, I was just telling Ellen because we were driving to the airport and I was like, hey, how long is Big Sugar? And she was like, oh, I think it's just 100. And Howard, her partner, was like, man, remember when you had never even ridden 100 miles like before Unbound like this year? And it's so true. Like, I told Ellen, I was like, I don't even think you understand, like, what you just did, like, this whole season. And, like, she, like, to see her confidence, like, increase and like just knowing that like, no, she's not just trying to finish Big Sugar, like she's gonna race it. Like that's
oh my
cool.
God.
Yeah.
No, I mean I love the fact that exactly what you're saying. I think the Grand Prix, the women's field, of course I'm partial to, but what an amazing group of athlete ambassadors that are in that field.
Yep. And like the ones who get it, like understand that like, yeah, we're racing for the win here, but we're also like kind of forging a new path, you know? Mm-hmm. Like there's not just the cookie cutter way to do bike racing anymore. And I think that's why like I've always felt like I fit in really well with gravel. You know, sometimes I miss cyclocross where you could just be done after 45 minutes, but also everything's already defined. Like I like that the sport is still evolving and like people are open to having discussions about how to make things better. Like you don't even realize what a gift that is until like it's taken away and you just have people telling you like, nope, this is the way it is and this is how it's done. So it's,
God, I hope we never get there in gravel. I hope we always have those discussions.
I know. Well, should we make this a political podcast? But yeah, I mean, I think it's important to like always do that. I mean, you and I feel like end up talking about those things every time we chat, but like, it's cool to be around people who are willing to have the conversation and willing to like make tweaks to make things better, because otherwise like, man, I would not have made it this far. I would be out of cycling if that were the case.
Well, best of luck tomorrow. Saturday. Best of luck on Saturday.
I did another podcast yesterday or an interview and I was like, yeah, tomorrow. Nope, Saturday.
You got another day to think about it. We'll track down Haley and Sophia, get their temperatures, and I'll send you a text on how they're feeling.
Yeah, great. Done.
Hey, I'm Abby Robbins. Welcome to Big Sugar here in Bentonville, and I'm here with Hannah Schell. So, Hannah, tell us a little bit about your race strategy tomorrow.
Yeah, so the course is crazy. It's super dry right now, and my goal is definitely going to be position well leading into the gravel, and then stay off the brakes as much as possible.
That sounds like a great plan. So tell us a little bit about your experience in the Lifetime Grand Prix so far.
Yeah, the Grand Prix has been a big learning experience for me. I am not a mountain biker, and so I would be lying if I said I didn't crap my pants a little bit when I saw the start list. But it's been cool. I mean, I've surprised myself at some races, and I'm eager to continue to push myself and get better.
Okay, so one piece of advice for anyone listening to this podcast who wants to do what you do.
Get a mountain bike. And learn how to be fast on it. I mean, I'm serious, because gravel is so much about how fast can you go through the turns. I mean, the BWRs, they all have the single track. This race here, it's gravel, but it's still technical. And I just think that if I were to start again, that's where I would want to start.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Abby.
All right, friends. We're at Big Sugar Gravel, and I am with Kristen Legan. Kristen, hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, getting excited to get this last race of the season underway.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have an advantage because you're also a coach when you come to racing, or is it hard to coach yourself?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I think just knowing yourself and knowing what you need is important, whether you're a coach or not. But yeah, it's fun to kind of see what everybody else is doing and be able to manipulate it and try it out in other ways.
You're like, that was a bad idea in their training.
Yeah. Yeah. No judgments on other people. Yeah.
Oh, I would totally be judged. I used to coach swimming. I was really bad at, like, when I would see people swimming, I'd be like, that's a bad idea what you're doing. It's not helping you get any faster. But
Well, hopefully just be focused on going fast tomorrow.
Yeah. What do you feel like that this event has elevated the pro field and especially the women's field? Because you've been around this for quite a while, right? And you've been a little under the radar. You've been coaching and doing your thing. You know, you're not like, well, we've talked about this. None of the gravel cyclists are the most like flamboyant athletes. But also, like, I know you're a quieter person. But do you feel like this is the whole thing has like elevated the field?
Yeah, for sure. No, I think you just have to look at the results from years past on all of these different events and see the growth of the women's field and the depth of it. So it's been really, really interesting to see. I've raced Unbound for almost 10 years now, off and on, and have podiumed at most of the races. And then this year I was, I think, 10th. And it was by far my best race I've ever had, fastest I've ever gone. But I was 10th versus, you know, second or third. So I think that speaks to a lot of, you know, there's just so many strong women and we're all pushing each other, which is great. You know, in training and in racing, we're seeing this kind of next level, next step being taken. So I think the next few years are going to be really fun to watch. I'm excited.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen with the women's field, right? Because we saw the men, a lot of them came from the pro peloton. So we see like a different kind of race and different tactics when they're doing that. So do you think that's going to start happening with the women as they get better at this, like, racing like this, or what? give us your crystal ball. Yeah,
good question. No, the women's race is such a, it's its own thing. You can't compare it to the men's a lot of the time, especially at races like Big Sugar or Unbound or Leadville, where we all start together. And so the men's dynamic is really different, where they can get into specific groups, they all know each other, they can keep their eyes on each other. And the women's is really, we're intermixed with age group men, pro men, other super fast women. And so not knowing where each other are or just being able to utilize the men's groups in different ways. So I think there's definitely a learning curve when it comes to how to race and like that race craft of these big mass participation events. So I think we'll start seeing more and more women focusing on that and see like how to utilize that for their advantage.
Okay, you said you're not going to do this next year. You just said that on the stage. Would you recommend other women to do the Grand Prix series and why?
Oh, for sure. This has been such a fun year. And, you know, I signed up thinking, oh, I probably shouldn't. I'm not fast enough for this. But
you're in 10th right now.
Yeah. Well, I've had a good season. But no, but I think challenging yourself and just seeing what you can do, because until you actually go out and try it, you have no idea. You know, like I was the same way, where I was like, I shouldn't be in this. I'm trying for a top 20 maybe if I have a really good season. And then, you know, you go out and you have a couple good races and it's like, wow, I think, yeah, now I know I can do this. And it just keeps you know, gives you motivation to try other new things and keep pushing yourself.
What would you say, so a lot of our podcast, right, is not obviously not pro women, they're amateur women, maybe they've never done events. What would you say to them about just like stepping out and challenging and doing something?
That, you know, it's always that first step that is the hardest, you know, whether it's you're not interested in going out and doing your bike ride that day, or it's an event that you're scared of, just sign up for it, you know, give it a try. And, you know, worst case scenario, you turn around and you go home and you decide this isn't for me, and that's fine, that's totally fine. But 99% of the time, I think we get out there and we're like, wow, I'm way more capable of what I thought I was, and actually have a lot of fun with these different events or rides.
And there's usually good snacks at the aid stations.
Snacks are key, always.
When you're not racing, yeah, you're like, I could just stop and have snacks.
Exactly, yep. Or pack your own snacks that make you super excited to ride. So,
well, this will come out on Tuesday. Our podcast is feed on Tuesday, so after the race. So we are super excited to see where you end up in the Grand Prix series.
Oh, thanks. Good luck. Hoping for luck.
Yes, well, thanks for your time today, Kristen.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm with Meg Fisher, and for the audio version, because people can't see you in that. And you're here at Big Sugar Gravel. Is this your last event of the year?
This is my last race of the season.
It's been a long season, eh?
It's been a long season. I've got some local cyclocross races this winter, but this is my last travel gig.
Did you like how I threw that A in for the Canadians?
Yeah, well, I'm fluent in Canadian, you know. I'm actually headed back to the motherland next week. I'm in a film that's made it into the Banff Film Festival.
And so, wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's called High Road.
What's it about?
It's about the story of Jack Berry. He developed cancer about 3 years ago. He's when he was 11. Now, in the film, he's 14. And it kind of follows his journey of kicking cancer's ass. And we got to do his first bike race together. And I've known Jack his whole life. And I came into his life at the right time. And now he wants to be a paracyclist. And so he's part of the reason why I am pushing for paracycling opportunities across the board.
Awesome. Okay, well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about a little bit, because I know this has been a big, well, it seems like this has been a big year for paracycling across the board. I know that outside of Sea Otter, Lifetime has had a category in every event, and then it seems like I'm seeing more and more events pop up with a paracycling category. So how do you feel like those opportunities are developing?
Oh, it's great. I get to talk with a lot of race organizers, and I may have spoken with them few years ago, and that momentum and that understanding is growing. So I'm really pleased that it's just taking off, and there'll be more next year.
Yeah. Is it, what are the, some of the unique challenges that you think come with gravel and paracycling?
That's a kind of a really broad question. So what are those challenges?
You're good at broad questions.
So. So let me say, like, are you just mean more about the organizer part of it? Because oftentimes organizers don't know what that entails. And we can only look through the lenses that we have that we're born with. And so I'm able to provide a perspective and understanding with my doctorate and my professional history with paracycling to be able to kind of fill in the gaps that they don't necessarily know that are there. As far as athletes in paracycling, it's just riding a bike. There's not a lot of challenges there.
Yeah. I would think if you're, and this is my ignorance, but I used to coach a little bit with the paracycling team with the tri club. Yes. So if you're in the hand cycle, it's one thing. Like if you're on a smooth pavement,
right.
I think there's probably a lot more challenges when you're on gravel roads that are sometimes washed out or have to cross creeks.
Right.
How are race organizers handling some of those challenges? Or how are you helping them handle some of those challenges?
Yes, so I'm highlighting where those obstacles might be and what supports might need to be there. For instance, people who are on a recumbent hand cycle or a kneeling hand cycle, there are some changes to the bike. It's not a road bike. Just like if we have road bikes that are different than gravel bikes, which are different than mountain bikes. There are adaptations to the bikes themselves. And then speaking with the race organizer, saying like, yeah, this is going to be a challenging spot. If we're going to have a creek crossing, let's have an aid person stationed there to maybe help that athlete navigate the creek crossing. But in general, it's amazing. Tricycles are incredibly resilient, tough bikes, and the athletes who ride them are even tougher.
Okay, if a race director is interested in adding like a paracycling category, how would they reach out and get in touch with you?
I have a website, it's goldmegfisher.com. You can easily email me or through my Instagram, which is just Meg Fisher, at Meg Fisher.
Awesome. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us today, Meg.
Oh, my privilege. Thank you.
Awesome. I'm at Big Sugar, and I found Lauren Crescenzo. Gosh, I had a hard time saying your last name.
Good pronunciation that time.
I just did a little.
It's a lot of letters.
Very Italian.
It's a lot of letters. Okay, speaking of Italy, I got to get the scoop.
Oh, yes.
One, do you still have your ovaries?
My ovaries?
Your ovaries didn't fall out on the course?
No. They're still in there.
All good.
That was the joke because the women's race was shorter than the men's race.
No, still in there. They weren't able to take those away from me.
Tell us how that was. How was the experience at Gravel Worlds? Or Gravel. You know what I mean.
Yeah. The
not the pirates, the others.
Not the pirate worlds, the other UCI worlds. Yes, in Italy. Well, it was a good experience for me. It was 90 miles, a little bit too short for me. I wish I had another 90 miles to...
It was short for all the Americans.
Yeah, I was like, what is this, road race? And it was basically 90 miles of everything that I'm bad at. So, like, a lot of bike paths, a lot of, like 300 turns onto bike paths. And it was, like, unlike anything I'd ever done in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, but that was Gravel Worlds. So.
Did it feel like a world championship event?
No, it definitely felt like with all the other countries being there and like just seeing every country represented, it definitely felt like the world championships. But it was just, now I know exactly what I'm going to be doing for the next year of my life, getting ready for a course like that again. I went in, well, I was ready, but could have been more ready.
Yeah, well, that's a learning for everybody. And the course could be completely different for the next one, right?
I hope it is.
Maybe they'll move it to Kansas in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, if they can move it to the U.S., I would be all about that. Yeah, I'll take that.
What do you think the opportunity for women is with, like, this gravel work? You know, because there's a big debate within gravel and the spirit of gravel and all the whatever those things are. But I think there's an opportunity for women, right? Like, if you want to say, I'm raising my hand and I want to race at this level and I want to go for that, like... And I think you're that person. Like, how do you see this as an opportunity for women?
UCI Gravel Worlds?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or just gravel in general. I think gravel is incredible for gender disparity that we often experience in cycling. I mean, we're doing the same exact course. We have the same exact, like, we have, like, same media coverage, same everything. We're out there doing the same thing. And there's, like, so many opportunities to make it a living, which I never thought in a million years I could do in my life. I was once a roadie, and then I was like, I had to go to grad school. Oh, no, I had to get a job. So I did all that. But then, you know, one thing led to another, and then Yeah, coming into Emporia that one day, I was like, oh, wait.
I can make this a living.
I can do this, yeah.
Do you think the landscape of women's cycling has changed this year with the Tour de France Femmes?
I think so. I was getting, like, teary-eyed when I was watching the Tour de France Avec Zwift. Yeah.
Avec Zwift. Yes. Sorry, Kate.
Don't forget the Avec Zwift.
Well, we have to give Kate credit for all the things
that
she did.
I know. That was an incredible, like, that was amazing. That's so unlike anything I saw, like, 10 years ago when I started racing. I was like, wow. We're getting somewhere.
Yeah. So is this the end of a very long season for you?
Yes. I started at the Valley of the Sun road race in February of this year. It's my longest season yet.
Yeah.
But like I just said, I was like, what else am I going to do every day?
Okay. So will you kind of follow the same pattern next year? Will you put your hand up for the Grand Prix, or you're not a mountain biker, right?
I'm a roadie gone gravel.
Not the other way around.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. TBD.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, this is a stacked field this weekend. And is it weird coming in as a non-Grand Prix rider into this field? Because, like, there's a big competition for the top 10 and where those spots are going to fall. Or are you like, I'm just here to do my own thing. See y'all later. Or, yeah.
It's like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. I'm just going to be over here doing my non-lifetime Grand Prix thing. You guys have fun.
Well, even outside of the Grand Prix, there's a pretty stacked women's field, which is really exciting.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's just stacked all around.
Well,
the final encore of the season.
The final encore. Everybody's like, I just have 5.5 hours until my season's over and I get to rest.
Exactly. And tomorrow is, I think, basically the last big race in the U.S. for gravel.
Well, you've
it's
had
the end of my season tomorrow. Yeah.
You've had a great season. Really fun to see you out there racing again and all your results this year. And I can't wait to see what you do next year.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great seeing you at all these places throughout the U.S. every time I go somewhere.
Every time. I'm like, hey, Lauren, I have a microphone. Can I put it in your face?
Definitely.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to stop this. All right, folks, I am in Bentonville for Big Sugar. So this was a few weeks ago, if you're listening to this. And Katie Mady, I will never forget your last name.
That's correct. You have to say both at the same time.
I know. So Katie Mady, who lives here in Bentonville, just came up to me and I was like, hey, let's talk about the Gravel Festival from last year. So you were one of our volunteer ride leaders last year, correct?
I was, and I also helped stuff some swag bags and got to see everybody at the keynote speaker, and it was just a great time last year.
Okay, so tell folks why you think Bentonville is such a special place to ride bikes and they should come to the festival.
Riding bikes here is amazing. The community is, you can't compare it to anything else. I have so many friends here and everybody's just so welcoming. The riding is fantastic. You've got single track, you've got gravel, you've got amazing roads, the scenery. You've got amazing things to do here in Bentonville, just restaurants and museums. You just can't beat it. So come out to Bentonville and ride with us.
The other thing that I love about Bentonville is the women's community is so strong here. And that was one of the reasons that we chose Bentonville for this festival, is because there's just like a community of women that love riding and love helping other people ride. And we knew we needed to tap into local communities like that to pull off an event. Tell us about your experience with the women's community here.
The women's community is really a big reason why I started riding. I started riding with a group of women a while ago, and then shameless plug, myself and some friends officially organized the Northwest Arkansas Gravel Collective, and it's a group for the femme, women, trans, non-binary community to ride together weekly, and it's just amazing to see the turnout every single week. We've got some seasoned riders, we've got some brand new riders, and every time we have some of those returning faces, and I just love being a part of the community here. It's very tight-knit, everybody knows everybody, and we're all just out here to support each other and cheer each other on.
Yeah, and it's not like, this isn't a race, they're not racing, we're just riding together, right? Like, it's about just having fun, experiencing beautiful places.
Absolutely. We're just here to enjoy each other's company, enjoy the scenery. We're not racing each other, because I know personally racing each other sometimes can be very daunting, and that's not
trying to win group rides here.
No, we're not trying to win. Don't be a hero. It's not the point. We are here to enjoy each other and support each other.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Katie. We will be looking forward to seeing you next year at our Gravel Festival. And hopefully some of the folks from the Gravel Collective will come out and help volunteer.
Absolutely. I'll be there. See you guys next year.
Okay, I am standing at the finish line with the women's Little Sugar winner, Betsy Welch, who did not want to spit out in the universe in case she didn't do it, but you did it.
I did it, and I don't generally state such bold aspirations, but I like this race, and last year I got second, and so I don't know, I was just, my plan was to just like go as hard as I could, and that's what I did, and today I won.
Congratulations. I love that you're not afraid to be like, I want to go win the 50, because like a lot of times people are like, well, I just did the 50.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm actually really working on that with myself, because I also tend to say just the 50 or only the 50, but I've also stated that we need to like normalize the shorter distances. It's no less of a race. In fact, for me, it's like an actual race where the longer distances are sometimes just about surviving. And, you know, personally, as a journalist, I do, I want to include more coverage of the other distances. Just to like say, hey, there are, you don't have to do 200 miles, for example. I mean, that is, did we forget? That's an ultra, you know?
Like, that's a long way.
Yeah, yeah.
Although you did fit 350 at that event.
Touche. I like to try them all. You know, it helps me have a really good understanding of the sport as a whole.
Well, I love that, and congratulations. And we will now leave the intro in the podcast of you saying, me saying that you were going to go for the win.
Yes, I was a little nervous that I would say that and then I wouldn't win. But then I was thinking out there, I was like, you know what? That's what all pros do, you know? Like, they put it out there that they want to win. Usually they don't win. So, yeah, it's, I decided that even if I didn't win, it was gonna be okay to say I wanted to. So, yeah, fun day.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And I know you have got to go because the men's field is about to come in.
Thank you, Catherine.
Let's do this. Okay, I am with the women's winner. We had her on our podcast. It is Paige Powered, Paige Onweller, of course. Paige, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, I just heard you at your finish line interview say that what made the difference out there was the confidence. And I know so many women can relate to that. What shifted in your mindset for that?
I think it was just a matter of like, fake it till you make it. That's what my coach always tells me. And just positioning is everything. And then, you know, I think for me, I've always been a little bit more timid, but I just knew on the hills, go to the front and drill. And I realized like, oh wow, I am strong. Like I could see it because the gaps were forming and I was still feeling like pretty comfortable. So that for me like fueled even more confidence, like as I was doing better, like it builds on itself. And that's just classic sports psychology, I guess. So finally like executed it well, which was good.
Okay, one more thing I want to ask you about is you also work full-time. You are a PA in the emergency room. That is not an easy or dial-it-in job. And a lot of women think, I can't race at high levels and work a job. How do you balance that?
I'll be honest, like it has not been easy. And I'm like going to cry thinking about this, but I have sacrificed so much. And it's frustrating. I work my ass off to get time off to come to races, and this is my fun time, you know, this is my vacation, and then I go back after winning Big Sugar and have a ton of hard shifts in the ER. So I think the balance is keeping it fun and realizing that I have something outside of cycling as well to kind of distract my mind. But for me, like, I needed this to hopefully get more opportunities so I can work less and have less stress going into races. So yeah.
Well, congratulations. We are very excited to see you on the top of the podium today.
Thank you.
Okay, I am sitting here with the Big Sugar second place finish, Emily Newsom, who's had a massive year this year. Congratulations, Emily.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're sitting here with your daughter at the finish line. You raced the first ever Tour de France Femmes this year. Then you're sitting here in second. What does it mean to have your daughter see you do these things this year?
Yeah, it means the world to me, for sure. Yeah. It made me cry.
What do you think of your mom?
I love her.
Are you proud of her?
Yes.
Well, congratulations on your day-to-day today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I am with Haley Smith, and you unofficially just won the Lifetime Grand Prix. And we had you on the podcast. You talked about how this has made racing fun and kind of brought it back to you. How does it feel to be winning when you came in just for fun?
I mean,
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't come in just for fun. I come in for fulfillment and for, like, chasing my personal best, too, which, like, ends up being fun. But I don't know. Like, I didn't have the race I wanted to today, so that's a little bit bittersweet. I was hoping to be a bit faster, but I did everything I could. And, I mean, it's cool to be consistent and to have the win in the overall, but I don't know. I just don't think about it that much. Like, yeah, like, I've learned the hard way that you can't, like, if you get, like, crazy emotional about every win and you make it, like, the biggest thing in the world, then it, you ride these waves that are not sustainable. So,
yeah. We've heard, I hear Sarah True say a lot, which she has too, is a professional triathlete, that a happy athlete is a fast athlete.
Yeah. Good job, Sarah. Yeah, it's true. I wouldn't say, like, I wouldn't say it's happy, you have to be happy all the time, but, like, being solid, having a solid understanding of why you're doing it, being fulfilled most of the time, like, yeah, having, like, a trend of positive emotions makes you fast, I think, yeah.
Well, congratulations, we're super excited for you. I'm sure you're going to be excited when you get that big award.
Yeah, of course. It is exciting. Like, it's cool to win stuff. It's just not everything, right?
Yeah, and that's really important. So, what are you going to do for fun after this?
Well, I'm going back to school, so
never mind.
Well, that's fun for me, but
we'll have some celebrations today.
Thanks, I will.
Great job to Maude Farrell.
Okay, I have Heather Jackson at the finish line. Hey, Heather.
Hi.
Okay, I've been stalking your dog all week.
Oh my God, I love it. She's so cute.
Thank you. Okay, I just wanted to ask you. You have officially wrapped up your Ironman triathlon career. How does it feel to be at this event, to be retired from that level of triathlon and just in it for fun now?
Oh, yeah. It's. I mean, I absolutely love triathlon. It was my life for 15 years, and for me it was, I still love it, but I just needed something new and refreshing and different and new challenges, and this is all of that. I mean, it's so fun. It's like this group dynamic, which triathlon's very much a solo sport. I mean, you have your team helping you, but you're out there racing alone. This is just fun to be out with other people, a new challenge for me, and yeah, just so fun, and I don't have to swim, so.
And you're running 100 miles next weekend.
Yeah, that's like, I haven't really said much because I could be walking 100 miles. I'm more nervous about that than, that's more just like going out for fun. It's a big Hoka event. I'm still on board with Hoka, which I'm so grateful for, and want to go out and just, yeah, party in the desert. It's like 5 laps, and I've heard it's an amazing event. It's called Javelina 100, so we'll see. It's more, I'm thinking more of it as like an adventure, not a race, but
that's what all these things are, right? Yeah. Have you ever, at the end of an Ironman, had an ice cream cone and a beer at the same time?
No, never. Everyone's just like handing you all this stuff, and I'm like, okay.
Well, congratulations. We are happy to officially welcome you to the gravel side.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to next year.
Yes. You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.